My name is Liz Graysnack, and I have Happy Hollow Farm. It's in northern Montotaw County in Missouri.
All right. Tell me a little bit about your operation.
So we have an 82-acre farm, but I grow vegetables, certified organic vegetables, on just a little over 7 acres. I did open up about 8 more acres this last fall that I'm not going to be planting entirely, but there'll be cover crop on some of it and then produce in some of it. I said that we're certified organic.
That's great.
I market through a CSA as well as at the Columbia Farmers Market. And the Columbia Farmers Market is the largest growers only market in the state of Missouri. So there's no reselling allowed at our market. And I also sell to a handful of restaurants in Columbia, as well as two local grocery stores in Columbia.
Excellent. Well, congratulations are in order. You have been chosen as the Organic Farmer of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I can't really wrap my mind around it, because in the time that I've been growing, and the farmers that I know that have received this award, they're like the stalwarts in the organic farming community. And so, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
How many years have you been doing this, Liz?
I'm starting entering into my 11th year farming and raising produce full time.
Well, you know, we talk to a lot of organic farmers all over our 10-state footprint, and you are probably the first vegetable grower that I have talked to in the state of Missouri that does strictly organic. That is amazing, and I think, you know, your award is probably very well deserved, because there are a lot of challenges that come with that. Can you kind of share with us your experience and what you've learned, and maybe some surprises along the way that you've learned?
Well, I was young and naive when I decided that I wanted to get into farming. About 15 years ago. So I started with an internship and worked on a farm, and then worked on another farm for a little bit, and then moved back to central Missouri to the Columbia area and worked on another farm in Ashland for another year. And, you know, foolishly thought, oh, I know enough. I could start my own farm. And very luckily, I would say, I had a nearly 6-year stint in between my internships and working on these other farms before starting my own place. I started off working and then worked my way up to being the general manager at a garden center in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty good sized garden center, and we had a number of employees, and doing that was actually really, really good learning experience for me, for managing employees, for running a business, for learning, you know, starting to just learn kind of how the ins and outs of marketing work. And, you know, when you create and develop a website and working on that website and doing sort of like brand promotion, you know, I learned a lot of those skills when I was working at Superior. And that's really vital to running a business, a small business especially. So that was really great. And the farm that Katie and I bought in November of 2007 was very underdeveloped, let's say that. It had a very small cabin on it and nothing else, no other structures of any kind. And I vastly underestimated the amount of money that would be required to build infrastructure and buy equipment and you know, get a farm up and going. So, you know, pretty much all I've done for the last 10 years is put every penny that I've earned, plus lots of borrowed money, back into, building the farm. And, you know, I started with 19 CSA members my very first year, and, We had 85 families that were members last year, and I would assume we'll be probably right around that same number this year. And then, you know, just slowly over the years added other revenue streams, you know, via wholesale and via selling at the farmers market. So, you know, just, I would say it's been gradual, except that it doesn't actually really seem like it's been that gradual of growth. It seems like it's been exponentially, you know, growing every year. And that's a lot. And it's taken a lot. And I have a lot of employees now, and have had some really wonderful employees over the years that have allowed me to get to where I am today.
How many employees do you have now?
You know, so it is seasonal, right? Mm-hmm. But last year at the peak of the season, I had 11 employees. All of them, some of them working full time, maybe about half of them working full time, and then the others working part time.
How did the pandemic, or how has the pandemic affected your business?
It's been really great for local produce sales. I think that, you know, when things shut down early in the year of 2019, I was already set up to and had lots of, you know, fresh local produce. And I was already set up to be able to offer that in a relatively easy way, and to get it to people. And one thing I will credit our farmers market and the board and the farmers market manager of the Columbia market. So our farmers market never shut down. We continued to operate all year long, still operating now. I mean, we operate 50 weeks a year, and they were able to navigate all kinds of, you know, rules and regulations and markets shutting down right and left all over the state, because of things closing. But, you know, our manager she had like the forethought, I guess, and was set up enough and professional to get us designated as a, what were they called?
Essential workers?
Not essential workers, but food.
Yeah,
you know, like
food,
a grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the grocery stores didn't close. And so she argued that the farmers market shouldn't close. We kept operating, and that was great. And I think that a lot of people, more people were, more interested in getting their food locally and getting it from somebody that they knew, and, you know, buying a head of lettuce from me means like two or three people have handled that head of lettuce, compared to, you know, who knows how many people have handled a head of lettuce that got shipped here from California and then ended up in a grocery store. Very luckily we had really great increased sales, but of course increased sales comes with increased costs, and you know, my labor budget was like five times as much as it's ever been. I feel like I was ready to handle the increase in growth. So we just did the best we could and grew a lot more produce last year.
It's good to hear people who have done well in the pandemic, that's for sure. And so the restaurant portion of your business,
that totally went away.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was non-existent.
But that wasn't the main part of your business anyway, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. We pivoted and added an online sales option to my website. I mean, I already had a pretty robust website, and so it just took us a little time to get the sales platform developed, so that people could start ordering through my website. But once we got that up and running, it was great. And we are still offering online sales every week, and we deliver into town, and we deliver to people's homes. We're still selling at the farmers market.
Do you deliver to Jefferson City?
No, not right now.
Darn it. Okay.
I would love to, actually. It's just that we haven't, I need enough customer base, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
To
make it worth your while. Sure.
Right. Right.
Well, talk to me a little bit about, getting the, certified, organic
Status?
Yes.
The certification?
Yes. And mm-hmm. what you mentioned, cover crops. And of course, everybody in, you know, row crop production is talking about them, and there's so much excitement around them. But tell me how that helps you, because weed control is huge no matter what kind of agriculture you're in.
Yeah. So in organic production, we depend on the cover crops for one of our main nutrient sources. You know, we can put down fertilizers, but, you know, we're restricted in what types of fertilizers we can use. And so we use cover crops the same way conventional farmers use fertilizer. We are using those cover crops for the nutrient source to put back into the soil to feed the vegetable crops that we're going to be growing. So I use a very wide range of different types of cover crops, based on the season, based on what the vegetable crop is that's going to go in that field after the cover crop. So there's a whole lot of Tetris playing on my farm and in the fields on my farm. And certification is, it's an annual process. I get inspected every year. I get audited every year. The record keeping that we're required to keep. And, you know, when you think about maybe like a bigger scale farm that's maybe growing 3 or 5 or even 10 sort of different crops, it seems manageable. But I grow over 100 different types of vegetables. And all of those are required, you know, I'm required to keep very detailed records on all of them. So I have a crazy detailed record keeping system that, you know, all of my employees at some point, you know, they have to learn, because the record keeping involves not just what gets seeded and when and in which field, but it also, you know, goes to where those seeds were purchased. And then it goes to when the crop was harvested and how much of the crop was harvested. And then once that crop gets harvested, it goes into the pack shed and it gets washed, and then it's going to go somewhere. And so then we have different records about, you know, where those things go. And so tracking all of the crops from the very beginning of the seed order all the way to the very end of when it leaves here, there's lots of steps and lots of different records that we keep that are all part of our certification requirements.
Has the certification, on balance, helped your business?
I feel like yes, because I feel like the detailed record keeping that I do, and when I first started growing, I was not using as detailed of a record keeping system as I use now. I switched over about five years in, I think, is when I made the switch to this much more detailed system. I feel like it's made me a much better grower, and I have a much better idea of the crops that are making me money and the ones that really aren't making me money. And, you know, I know much more readily when I need to plant things, how much of something I need to plant, how much I could expect to harvest of, you know, X when I do plant it. I really think that it's made me a much better farmer. So yeah, on the whole, I think it's definitely worth it.
Do you foresee this increased business that you have benefited from during the pandemic to continue?
that's a really good question. And I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I've been having that conversation with a whole lot of my grower friends. And I don't know.
I'm sure you're hopeful that it will.
I'm very hopeful. Yes, I'm hopeful. Hi.
Oh, hi.
I realized that my video wasn't on, and I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's not a big deal to me if people don't want to be on. So all good. Well,
yeah. So I don't know. I sure hope so, but, I don't know. Okay. I would hope that people would continue to, you know, be interested and concerned about where their food is coming from and want to put the effort into sourcing their food locally. Mm-hmm. but it's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, I'll need to keep up with you and see how things are going. So I didn't have any other questions in the interview unless there was anything you wanted to share.
No, I guess it would be good if you would go into some more detail about what CSA is, because yeah. CSA is a large percentage, probably at least, you know, when I first started, it was 100% of my business, and then it was maybe 80% for a few years. And now it's probably 60% of my annual sales. So CSA and having CSA members it's a huge part of my farm, not only financially, but also community-based. And I have members that have been members of my farm since the very first year that I started farming. So for 10 years, I've been feeding them and their families, and I've watched their kids grow up, and they've watched the birth of my kids and my kids growing up. And so it's much more than just where we're getting our food. There's a much bigger, and I think, I mean, to me, it's the whole reason I started farming was when I learned about community supported agriculture and I joined farm, and I realized that it was a way that I was super passionate about. And I thought, man, if I can be part of this, something bigger than, you know, me just going to the grocery store, and if I can be part of this farm and this community of people that are supporting this farm and this farmer and help them make a living. I mean, just all of it it was why I started farming.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, the ideal of what people in bigger ag operations say they want, you know, to circle back to the consumer, to go back and have more of a relationship with them. But it sounds like you have been able to do that from the get-go, and that's
right.
That's great.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the reason that I started farming. And honestly, it's the reason that I am still farming, because without the commitment from my members, I wouldn't have been able to make it. I mean, even though I sell a lot of heads of lettuce, it's not enough to pay the bills. I totally would not be farming today without the support of my CSA members.